The Face of a Man. Ezekiel 1, verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Through likenesses, God manifested to Ezekiel how the servant perfected and glorified appears in the heavenly realm. These glorious creatures out of the fire represent a redeemed and glorified son that had been brought through the fires into the perfection and image of Jesus Christ. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, there are four similar beings described. In the King James Version, they are called beasts because of their faces. But in the original language, they are called living ones or living beings. They held the highest position of all creatures in relation to the throne of God that St. John was permitted to see. The living ones were seen stationed in the very midst of the throne of God. Revelation chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. Again in chapter 5 and verse 6 of the same book, John writes that these living creatures, along with other heavenly beings, sang a song that clearly established that they were glorified human creatures that had come through the great redeeming power of the blood and the cross. And I quote their song. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. These strangely formed yet glorious living creatures were especially described by the designation living ones because of the outstanding power of the life force within them. Nevertheless, there were humans of the race of Adam that had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, passed through the fires of earth life, and glorified by the transforming power of God. The vision of the living beings given to St. John was a vision of the same creatures born out of the fire that Ezekiel was shown centuries before. The four faces are the image of the four characteristics by which Jesus, the Son of Man, manifested himself while on earth. These four faces also are the four themes of the life of Jesus given by the authors of the four Gospels. Matthew presents Jesus as the King, the face of the lion. Mark pictures Christ as a humble servant, the face of the ox. The face of the man is emphasized in the book of Luke and shows Jesus in his immaculate humanity. John speaks of Christ in his divinity as a word of God, who, as the eagle, that soared beyond earth into the high realms of the heavenlies. When Christ came to earth, he took not upon him the nature of angels, but took upon himself the form and nature of a son of Adam. He was born into the family of mankind. He became the wondrous prototype of the fire-made image of the fire creatures. When God made man into his image, he did not make the body of Adam in his image, but he formed that body out of the dust of the earth. Because God has no physical form or substance, when Christ came in his sinless perfection, he became the divine image into which the creatures from the fire were to be made. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul explains that the Holy Spirit is still working to finalize the work of creation. The Spirit is changing into the image of God. Those whose faces and eyes are oriented to behold His glory. And I quote, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." God is finishing, generation by generation, that which He started in the Garden of Eden when He decreed, "Let us make man in our own image." He is still working out that wonderful decree in the daily lives of all of His saints and thereby fulfilling that original purpose. In the book of Revelation, those living worms were shown with two more wings than the beings shown to Ezekiel. The living creatures were also revealed as having many eyes like as the fire creatures that Ezekiel saw. Eyes represent the ability to utilize to the fullest the light of their environment. They had been given the mighty power to see within and know themselves beyond any shadow of doubt or self-deceit, which is a great enemy of all mankind. Then, too, with many eyes without, they had perception and clear understanding of their environment and circumstances. John shares his vision and gives us to see a small portion of the activities of these living creatures. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, 3, 5, and 7, these creatures came to John one by one and invited him to come and look into the open book of mysteries and of coming judgment. Then, again, in chapter 15 and verse 7, one of the four living ones gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. It is obvious that the four living ones represent the redeemed, the perfected, fire-birthed man in His image. They gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. Those perfected servants, redeemed and glorified, appear to have somewhat to do with the future judgments that will be meted out upon the earth in the final accounting. John's vision, along with Ezekiel's, show in picture form what the perfected servant will become in their final stage of development. Man in his perfected state will be brought into an incomprehensible glory of relationship with the triune God, the glory that God's original plan always intended ever since the beginning. From the vision of Moses, God told Moses to build a tabernacle, according to the vision showed to him on the mount. Therefore, when Moses designed and built the tabernacle, he carefully built within it, using earthly materials, forms, and shapes, those things which he saw as a pattern in heaven. A small earthly picture of heavenly beings was woven into the curtain walls and the ceilings of the tabernacle. On the walls, ceilings, and dividing curtains, cherubim were embroidered. And those cherubim bear a strong similitude to the fire creatures that Ezekiel saw. Also, cherubim of pure gold sat in the constant vigilance upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. From the beginning, before the foundation of the earth, God had a tremendous purpose in His creation of man. No happenings in the life of a Christian on this earth are helter-skelter accidents of merest chance. But every incident in his life are the work of God to finally fulfill His high purpose of the original plan of the creation of God. Many believers will not hold faith, hope, and love necessary to be made into those wondrous beings that come forth out of the fire. However, there are other places and stages of development besides that of these glorified servants. John also saw a great multitude which no man could number. They were the redeemed who were standing before the throne praising God for their redemption. John also was shown a certain representative number, 144,000, that followed the Lamb wherever He went. Then too, he saw the 24 elders that sat upon thrones, stationed round about the throne. However, in the very midst of the throne, near to the glory presence of God, abode those amazing living ones, the creatures out of the fires. One had the face of a man's face with his likeness to the face of the Son of God, a face that shows the characteristics of man. Regardless of how gloriously changed, he will always be a man, a former son of Adam, now a perfected son of God, the fire creature, the living beings in the midst of the throne, are the final stage of the creation of man in his own image that the mighty power of God even now is fulfilling. Jesus himself was the man in the Creator's image. He took upon himself the form and nature of man. Jesus possessed the face of a man and became a son of Adam's race with all of his human qualities in their superior degree of perfection. The fire creatures, with the face of a man, was a picture of all those made in his image that will have perfected within them the wondrous nature, abilities, and intellect of man made in the divine image. The perfected servant will possess full capacity to receive the knowledge of God and his will, unrestricted communion with God, a mind full of eyes impossible to harbor evil thoughts, a heart overflowing with the flaming fire of love, the divine nature replacing the Adamic, the crown of righteousness of Christ, wings to receive and use the powers of the Spirit, and finally, the righteousness of Christ as his raiment. Those fire creatures did not have angel faces, but the face of a man. Daniel, in his book, tries to tell us what an angel face looks like. Concerning his vision of the angel Gabriel, he wrote in chapter 10 and verse 6, his body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. There is certainly no way to confuse the face of an angel that appears like lightning with the face of a human being. In fact, there is very little similitude between the angel Gabriel and the fire creatures that Ezekiel saw. The fire creatures had the face of a man because he was a man, but a man so transformed, so enhanced, that it was beyond the powers of Ezekiel to describe in his virtual reality. A man, yes, but a man with multiple wings to gather power from the Spirit, many eyes to enlighten and see clearly in all directions, as well as within, without. No wonder the prophet Isaiah said, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Isaiah 64:4. And no wonder Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In Mark 8:36. How the angels must weep when believers waste their efforts and time in vanities and follies of this world. From the day we are born until the day we die, our time on earth is measured in but a few years. Only so much time. And it is that small measure of time that is so often wasted in the effort to gain the adulation and material benefits of this world. God has prepared for the redeemed sons of men something so far beyond what this world could ever offer. From the viewpoint of eternity, what great difference does it make if one has much of this world's good or lives in scant necessities? It is in this brief period of time that the Creator, Potter, has chosen to cause the clay of humanity to pass through the molding, sealing fires of the eternal formation of the new creature, the living ones. The vision of Ezekiel is a representation of coming realities, a picture of what the master potter will make on the wheel of life. What an amazing and marvelous master potter that can take such vile, resistant clay and create such a glorious masterpiece. The chosen and called regenerated son should not live for earthly glory, fame, or riches. His enlightened soul has found the true purposes of God and the divine destiny of man and has set his course for the kingdom of heaven. The eminent evangelist, Gypsy Smith, was ministering to a group of businessmen in the city of New York. His theme was heaven and the wondrous things God has prepared for those that love him. Those businessmen sat listening with tears in their eyes as Gypsy portrayed in living words the glory awaiting believers in heaven. At the end of the service, these men said to him, "Gypsy, you are dreaming. That is too beautiful, too wonderful. It cannot be true." Those words distressed the evangelist so deeply that he went home and wrote a beautiful song entitled, "If I Am Dreaming, Let Me Dream On." There are magnificent works of art in the world, and the artist searched long for the finest materials to work with to produce lifelike statues, exquisite paintings, intricate works of art. But never has it been known for an artist to take common clay and transform it into a living golden jewel fit for crown of heaven's kings. While visiting in London, I entered the heavily guarded vault and saw the Queen's crown, truly a work of magnificent artistry, of finest gold and resplendent in superb jewels. Notwithstanding, there was one thing obviously certain. That dazzling crown was not miraculously made out of common clay. Only God can take a piece of clay and make a cherubim. That is beyond the power of human artist. Only the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who has formed and created all creatures, can say to sinful man, "Let me take your life into my hand. I will mold you and reshape you and change you within and without. You will become like unto the very cherubim in beauty, a creature out of the fire with the face of a man, the wings of the angels, feet as sturdy ox, and hands like unto the sons of Adam."